is going to destroy the world.
My father said that one day, if man continued in his ways, the Creator would annihilate this world.
I saw water. Death by water. And I saw new life.
A great flood is coming. We build a vessel to survive the storm.
We build an ark.
I have men at my back, and you stand alone and defy me.
I'm not alone.
It begins.
When they come, they will be desperate, and there will be many.
Take the ark!
Welcome to 514 Church. I'm so glad you guys are here. It's great to see all of you in here, and I want to welcome everybody online who's watching live right now, streaming this message. Today we're starting Noah Doubt. I went to the theater to see the movie Noah after having read, like so many of us, a bunch of different opinions, right? Polarizing views. Some people were saying that it was just a catastrophe, that it was misrepresenting the scripture, and it was misrepresenting God. And then I read some people that were kind of in the middle that said that, you know, there was five things good about the movie. Here they are. Here's five things bad about the movie from some Christian perspective. And then there were some people that said it was great. I actually read an article before I saw the movie from a guy that was one of the co-writers. And his whole take was, you know, we tried to do everything we could in this movie to make it as biblically accurate as possible. And he started to unpack the reason that they made some of the interpretations, and some of the heavy, kind of intense evangelical Christian people were saying that certain parts of the movie meant the wrong thing or didn't say the right thing. And the co-author was saying, well, actually, here's why we interpreted it that way. And there was all these different views, right? And I just went into this going, oh man, here we go. Here we go. I'm about to watch something, and I know that it's polarizing, and this is interesting to me, and it was really fun. So I went with Ryan, a friend, guy works here at the church too, and we went in thinking, okay, this is going to be tough. Like, there's going to be something wrong with this, and we're going to wait to see it, and we were just expecting kind of the worst. But before I went into it, I kind of have this disposition in life, right, that I want to share with you. I look at culture a certain way, and I look at movies a certain way, and I look at people a certain way, and books a certain way, and leaders a certain way, and anybody that's influencing a certain way. And it may not be the way that you look at it, but I look at it a certain way. And the way that I kind of look at life, and the way I kind of live my life, and this is really important. So today's message is like, okay, this is in the scripture, and you're going to see how the way I live my life has been completely driven by something that I believe is true and good and right, but there's a little part of it that's like, you know, you may not agree with this, right? Like, you may not look at life the way that I do, and we can still be friends, and you can be a follower of Christ, and I can be a follower of Christ, and we can totally disagree, and there might be some of that happens today, because I'm going to put something out in front of you that says, here's how I do it, here's how I look at culture, here's how I look at movies, here's how I look at people and leaders, and you might disagree. In my kind of general disposition towards life and anything that comes at me is to view it in a positive light. I believe that I am supposed to live for something, not against something. I believe in living for something, not against something. So when I go to this movie and there's things about it that I know are going to be good and things about it that I know are going to be bad, my disposition is to find the good and let go of the bad. You see, I don't believe that a great way to live your life is to go around and police the world and find something that you're against and then be against it. I think that you should have this kind of positive perspective and go, I'm going to spend my life,
I'm going to spend my energy not fighting against someone, some people, or some idea, but picking what's really important to me and fighting and living for that. That's kind of the way I believe. Now, some of us in the room, there's all these studies out about being pessimistic, right? That it's part of your DNA. And some of you are like, I just can't help it. You know, it's just the grass is brown on both sides of the fence, no matter what. Like, everything is bad. And you just see things that way. And I get that. But I think that even if that's you, that you have a responsibility to kind of move towards life and decide what you're going to live for. And I just believe that there's a lot of people that live their life against something instead of for something. Now, the greatest example of this is in Philippians chapter 1, okay? This is a piece of the New Testament, and the author of this book is a man who God, in this miraculous fashion, said, I'm going to use you to tell the story of Jesus to the modern world. And he ended up writing, the guy that wrote Philippians, which is just a letter to a church, a group of people in Philippi, the man that wrote this letter, his name is Paul, and he wrote this letter to the Philippian people towards the end of his life while he was in prison in Rome. He was actually in prison, and he wrote this letter. And so I think that the person that wrote half of the New Testament has a lot to say about being positive in negative situations, because here's a guy who was in prison. He had been through so much hardship. He had every right to believe that the world was out to get him and to spend his life fighting against things and just fighting against the movement of anything that's trying to stop Christianity. So this guy, Paul, he had been beaten. He had been stoned. Stoning, they used to stone people where they would stone him to the point where they were supposed to die. He actually was stoned, and he didn't die. He was shipwrecked. He was whipped. He was put in prison multiple times. He lost his closest friends, and he traveled all over the modern world, like Greece and Rome and Jerusalem area, all that region of the world, Mediterranean Sea. And he spent the last years of his life telling people that Jesus Christ was worth following. And for doing that, he was essentially beaten and ostracized, and he had this horrible experience that ended up putting him in a Roman prison. And while he is in prison, he writes a letter to a church that he was part of starting that was in a Roman province, that was in an area, Philippi, that was governed by the Romans. And he has a lot to say about being positive in a negative situation. I just want everyone to see this, and we're going to unpack this together. So he is in prison, and he decides that he's going to live for something, not against something. And he could have, like any of us, said, you know what? Because these Romans are taking over the modern world, they are against me, so I'm going to be against them. And he could have written a letter and said, you know what? We need to tell people about Jesus, but we also need to come up with a plan to destroy and defeat the Romans, because they're against us, so we're going to be against them. Paul could have said, you know what? These Romans, they worship hundreds and hundreds of gods. We are worshiping Jesus, who is the living Savior, who died on a cross, rose from the dead, and we should go and fight the Romans and try to annihilate them from the planet and from their influence. Paul had every right, more than any of us had ever had a right, to fight against something, to fight against the Romans. They were against him. They had him in prison, and it was a mess. But what happens is that he sees life different than a lot of us. He looks at his situation and he says, I am going to make sure I continue to be about what I know I'm supposed to be about. And in the first section of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1, he says this. He says, now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters. Now, I just want to stop for a second because he is writing this to Christian people. He's saying, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, he's just unpacked the fact that he's in prison and the Romans have him and he's gone through horrible circumstances and he's about to say what he thinks about that situation. He's about to say, here's my response to my situation. And he says, I want the Christian people, the Christ followers, to know how I respond to tough situations, how I live for something, not against something. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters. So for a moment, let's just stop. This message, the message in Philippians, the message from me today, this is for people who say, I love Jesus. You see, at some point, some of us in here made a decision and we said, I believe in Jesus. He is a king. He's my leader. I believe he's God. I surrender my life to him and I want to actually become a follower of him the way that the first disciples followed him. And you have studied and you have prayed and you have become more like Jesus. And if you even know what I'm talking about, then that's you, right? Because if you don't know that, if you're like, wait a minute, a king, wait a minute, a follower, wait a minute, like the disciples, wait a minute, study, then maybe that's not you. And if you're in here today, I want you to know that I know that the way that we as Christians respond to tough situations has been and continues to be one of the main reasons that you don't become a Christian. Because when we go through tough things, Christians, brothers, sisters, when we go through trials, when we go through difficult circumstances, the people who are not brothers and sisters are watching us. They're watching us and they're going, how are they going to respond to this? How are they going to live their life? Because here's the thing, brothers and sisters, you need to know. We believe when we put our faith in Jesus that his way, and what I mean by his way, the steps that Jesus took, the practical way we live our lives, we believe by saying and confessing that Jesus is God, that his way is better on earth, day to day. We believe by following Jesus that his way is a better way to live. Not just a way to heaven, but a better way to live every single day. And so Paul says, hey, you guys, you are going to be in difficult circumstances too. In fact, the Philippian people were under rule by the Romans. So he's in a Roman prison. He writes a letter to some Philippian people who are ruled by the Romans. And he goes, I want you to know how I'm dealing with being in prison, how I'm dealing with something happening that wasn't according to my plan, with something going on that doesn't necessarily represent what I believe. And he says it. This is so cool. Live for something, not against something. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Wait a minute, Paul, are you saying that you could be as this person who's been called by God to tell the world about Jesus, that you could be like in different countries still and planting new churches and starting new movements for the following of Jesus? And you have the ability in the midst of the shackles that are on your hands to say that what is happening to you is advancing the gospel? Come on, Paul. What about all the stuff that's not happening? You were God's man. Shouldn't you be doing more and getting out there more and building more disciples and starting more churches? How can you, in the midst of this situation, find something positive? You know why? Because Paul said, it's never going to be perfect. There's always going to be trials. There's always going to be things that come at us that we disagree with. We can't control all of that. What we can control is our response to something. And he says, so what I'm doing is I am making the most of my bad situation. I am for the gospel, the good message, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm for. No matter where I am, that's what I'm for. In this text, we learn, and through studying the life of Paul, we learn that Paul, while he was in prison close to Jerusalem, then put on a boat and taken to Rome, that there were men that became followers of Jesus that were leading him. The Roman guards started to become followers of Jesus. So he went, I'm for the gospel, so I'm just going to be for the gospel in prison. Hey, if something comes out into the world that doesn't represent me, or if my situation gets kind of negative, doesn't matter to me. I am going to find a way to be about what I'm about. No matter what happens, I'm going to see people meet Jesus. When Paul was in Rome, in prison, in this like house arrest thing, the story is that some of the Roman guards, they became strong followers of Jesus. Because he was like, hey, I'm in shackles, but I want to tell you why I'm in shackles. I want to share with you the good news. And these guys, of anybody, went, if this guy can be positive in the midst of something negative, ooh, there is something special about him. And some of the Roman leaders became followers of Jesus. So he went, you know what? You guys, here's how I look at life. I am for something, not against something. I'm not against the Romans. I'm for the gospel. And by being for the gospel, he is able to look at any situation, anything that comes at him and go, I'm going to find the good. I'm going to find the good in this situation. Nothing is going to stop me from finding the good. I went to this movie, and right away, I'm sitting there, right? I'm sitting in the movie, and the first 2/3 of the movie, there was some inconsistencies. There was stuff that's not in the Bible. There was creative liberties taken. And yeah, I was sitting there going, that's not in there. 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 And I could have left the movie and tweeted and said, there is 24 things in this movie that are not in the Bible. But you know what I didn't do? That. You know why I didn't do that? Because I am for something, not against something. And can I tell you that in this movie, there is at least 3 major, major theological principles and truths that we all need to know and believe. And so I went, I'm for the gospel. They just said that, and they just said that, and they just said that. Thank you, Hollywood, for saying something that's really difficult for Christians to even say. You see, I do not let Hollywood decide what is true for me. It doesn't matter. I just look at life and go, there's some good, there's some bad. I'm going to find the good, and I'm going to get behind it. And I believe that's what we're all supposed to do. I believe we're supposed to look at life and go, man, how can I find the good in this? Come on, you guys. It is not our job to go policing the world, to go policing everybody and say, ooh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. You see, it's not your job to defend the Bible. The Bible is not yours. You don't own it. Nobody owns the Bible. It's the story of God. And the way that you best represent his story is by living the way that he said live. And the way that he said live is love people regardless of the circumstances. He looked for the good, found it regardless. You see, we can spend all of our time being against something, and then we're just those people who are against something. How many of us just love all those Christian people who hold up those signs and say, fags are going to hell? Oh, they're great. Ooh, everybody's listening now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a church that is committed to being against something. Do you want to be known for what we're against? Do you want to go into a movie and just find all the things that don't quite add up with what you think is true? Or how about we recognize as mature people that in the world, there's always going to be junk. Always. If you are waiting for the perfect representation of whatever you have called your faith, you will never find it. There's no church. There's no school, there's no movie, there's no person, there's no one but the person of Jesus who emulates and represents the life of God on planet Earth perfectly. So don't sit around and police those that don't. Look for the good and let go of the bad. Do you want to be that? Dude, I am not about that. I am not a person that just goes, I'm going to find something I can be against and just go be against it. I'm a person that says, I want to find out what is most important to God, and I want that to be most important to me. If you want to be a part of this church and you say, I go to 514 Church, 514 Church is about loving people regardless. 514 Church is about saying, it's not Hollywood's job to tell the world what's right and what's wrong. It's our job to represent the love of God regardless of what other people say. Come on, don't give them that power. Oh, they just went and they just did this and this and this. So what? I don't care. I'm sitting in the movie and then the rock people come. Ooh, yeah, some of you haven't seen it. There's rock people. I could have sat there and gone, you know, there's nothing in the Bible about rock people. There's nothing. But there actually is this kind of piece of the Bible that talks about these giant people. And what happened is the directors, they just took some creative liberties. And it's not a deal breaker. I'm going, I'm not going to fight against that. I'm not going to like write City Hall and say, you know that it was giants, not rock people. You see, when I was in college, I had Ken Ham, the guy that is the Answers in Genesis. He was one of my professors. I know all the stuff that's inconsistent about it. I just don't care. Because there's enough in it that I can get behind and go, people need to know this. And as a leader, I can lead people to the good things. You see, here's what you don't know yet. If you are a brother or a sister, if you are a follower of Christ, you have been called to leadership. Oh yeah, you didn't know you were a leader. Here's what makes you a leader. When Jesus left the planet, he said to his closest followers, he said, go and what? Make disciples. You know what that means? That your job and mine as brothers and sisters is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And so what you have to decide is how you're going to respond when things don't go the way you planned it. You have to learn to be positive in the midst of the negative. You have to learn to fight for what is good and live for something, not against something. Listen, 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 listen. This is what I believe with all of my heart. Positivity in the midst of negativity is not naivety. It's leadership. It's leadership. This movie came out, and I could find all kinds of stuff wrong with it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to find what's right with it. And I'm going to tell people about God and the truth. This is an opportunity. Leaders look for opportunities to bring people closer to Christ. Do you know that because of this movie, more people were looking in on the scriptures than had in a long, long time? Over 300% more views of the Bible app happened when this movie came out. You know why? Because some people were sitting in the movie and they watch the stuff and they go, wait a minute, I don't remember seeing that on a flannelgram. And they looked it up. And you know what happened? People read the Bible. I am for that. I am for that. So am I going to tell people don't go to this thing and watch it because there's some stuff that's not true? Or am I going to go, hey, I'm glad you asked. Let's have a conversation. What a great time for us to just sit and talk. There's some things in it that are true. There's some things that aren't. But if you step towards that, that is a win. So here's what happens. All of us have our reasons. We have our reasons why we could say this isn't right and that isn't right. We can try to just sift through and make sure that our little world is pure and perfect. And we can live our lives that way. Or we can say it's not pure, it's not perfect, it's broken. And people are manipulating the system. And you see, what happens in the book of Philippians is Paul, he says there's some people who are taking the message of the gospel and they are using it for their own personal gain. There are some people that are taking this Jesus following thing, like a bunch of people starting to follow Jesus. So there's some guys that have these mixed motives and they're going, man, when I tell people about Jesus, a lot of people listen and money's starting to come in. And there were some people in this region where he's writing to that were building movements of people just because Christianity was in vogue. And Paul could have said, you know what? We need to stop this person and stop this person and stop this person and stop this person, because even though they're like telling some of the truths, they're doing it for the wrong reasons. So I'm going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Paul says the opposite. When he knows that people are using the gospel message for the wrong reason, he asks this question. What does it matter? You know why? Because Paul knows he can't control people's motives. Paul knows that everyone has issues. Paul knows that people do things for the wrong reasons at the wrong time. And he goes, I'm going to find what is good here. And then he says it. What does it matter? Here's the important thing. Don't you want to know what the important thing is? Didn't you come to church today to know what the important thing is? Come on, what is the important thing? What is most important about this issue? He says this. He says that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. You see, it's our job as Christ followers to not be the kind of people that just go and police, but to say, I am passionate about something and I am going to do everything I can. And you know when you're really passionate about something, you see, and Paul's passionate about preaching Christ, you know that you're gonna have to learn to run the gauntlet, that you're gonna have to learn to duck and weave, and you're gonna have to learn to look past things, and you're gonna have to try to get what you believe is most important in front of people. And that's what Paul was committed to doing this. And then he says this, he says, because of the truth that regardless of for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives, Hollywood puts this thing out. They just know that there's a built-in Christian crowd that everyone's going to go and see the Christian thing and it's a moneymaker. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. Doesn't matter. I don't care why they're doing it. I don't care why they're doing it because there's some stuff in it that's really good. And as a leader, I am going to bring people to those things. I'm going to bring you to those things. In this church, the next 3 weeks, we are going to look at the three fundamental theological things that this story teaches. And we're going to look at it right from the text. We're going to look past the rock people, look right past them. We might laugh at them. It's kind of like ancient Transformers. It's actually kind of cool, right? We're going to look past that. That's not true. There's this whole evolutionary sequence, this kind of tip to the hand of evolution. We're going to look past that. We're going to look at some things that are real. And when we look at those things that are real, we're going to do what Paul did. And he says, because the truth is being put out there, even though it's coming from an untrue, twisted, unpolished, unbalanced place, he says, I rejoice. I'm happy. I'm happy. I am happy because I live my life for something, not against something. And I am for that. I'm for it. Now, I know some of you are like, whoa, like he just said what he said about the Westboro. You guys okay? Everybody all right? Isn't it true, right? Isn't it true? Like there's just churches, right? They're known, right, for what they are against. You know, here's the thing about life. 90% of life is response. You see, 10% of life is what happens. 90% is how we respond to it. So everybody in this room has to make the decision before the 10% happens as to how they're going to respond. And you have to be like Paul and know, like, it could be bad. It could get really bad. It could go against everything I think. It could go against everything I believe. It could go against everything that I want out there. But I am going to find the good. Look, man, you guys, look, this is the story of the cross. Okay, Jesus is hanging on a cross. He's dying on the cross for our sins. And he could have said, they are sinners. I can't believe I have to do this for them. They're so broken and pitiful. If they would just get their act together, I wouldn't have to be stretched out and lifted up and hung on a cross and die. It's not what he says. He is for love. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What? What? You are going to be positive on the cross. You are going to be for love, not against sinners on the cross. What a model. You see, a lot of people, when this movie came out, were shocked. Ooh, dear Lord, this movie does not represent my faith. Are you really shocked? Are you really offended? Like, are you sitting there going like, I am waiting for something that comes along that doesn't match my ideals. And when it does, I'm going to fire a warning flare up into the sky. Oop, rock people. They're wrong. A brilliant man, one of the most brilliant men I've ever met in my life, told me something that I never have ever forgotten. I want to tell it to you today. His name is Warren Hildebrand, and he's sitting right back there. Everybody know Warren Hildebrand? Anybody know Warren? Warren Hildebrand is a great man. And one day he taught me something I think applies to this. I know it does. We were sitting in the office, this was about a year and a half ago, and somebody was offended. Someone in the church. I do not remember the situation. I really don't. It was just someone was offended, and all a group of us were talking about taking offense to something. You know, we did something in here, or someone said something, and someone wrote a note, and they were really offended. And it was just one of those things. Was like, oh, man, you know, they didn't understand what we were trying to do, and we understood it, and da-da-da-da. And Warren goes like this, and there was a coffee cup on the table. And he goes, you know what? Taking offense is a choice. He said, some people choose to take offense, and he lifted up the coffee cup. It was brilliant. And he goes, and some people don't. Nobody has to take offense. Some people are just looking for a reason to take it. Some people are just looking for a reason to tell other people that they're wrong and they know something. Some people value being right over having great relationships. And they take offense, they take offense, they take offense. You don't have to take offense. You don't have to let anything bug you. You can sit there just like Jesus. I'm not going to take offense. I'm not going to take offense. This thing is broken. There's all kinds of wrong. It's never going to be all right. But there is some stuff that's amazing and good in the world and on this planet. And I am going to live my life for that because I don't have enough time to be against all the things. By being for love, the gospel, and grace, I am doing the best job at fighting all those things as I possibly could. That is the heart of Paul. That is the heart of Jesus. Live for something, not against something. Live for something, not against something. What are you against? Just take a minute and just think right now. Like, what in your heart, like, is there something that you really are going after? That you just feel like you are the police person, that you're supposed to go after that, and you're against it, and whenever it happens, it's your job to kind of point it out and tell everyone about it and be against it. What are you against? Right? Yesterday, we were for something. That's the next question. For. We are for the community. 514 serves. 200-plus people going down to a rough area, an area with beautiful people. Beautiful people that need just some love and some care. And we went down there and we could have walked around and told everybody how they were doing and what they were doing and what they weren't doing and what they are and what they're not. Da, 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 da. We could have gone down there, but we didn't. We just said, we're going down here because we're for love. We're for love. What are you for? Are you for overwhelming truth and bringing people love? Are you for communicating joy? Are you for communicating hope? Whatever you're for, I want you to just think, is it worth it? Is it really, really worth it? Is it really worth being for that thing? Because some people are for stuff, right, you shouldn't be for. Like the Columbus Blue Jackets. Who really cares? I'm kidding. All of you are mad right now. I am not against the Blue Jackets. I'm just for watching Family Feud instead. See, it's not about being against something. Actually, another one is like this. Like the Buckeyes, right? If you hate Michigan, I don't understand you. Whoa, I said that, and we are in Columbus. We are close. I am not against Michigan. I don't care. I actually want Michigan to be good. Oh, whoa, because they're in America. And I want American colleges to have good football teams. And I want the Big Ten to have a good football team. And I want Ohio State to have a good opponent. And I want to get better. And I want to win the national championship. So Michigan needs to be good, people. I am for the Buckeyes. I'm not against people. I know that sounds weird. Like, dude, you way overthink stuff. Yeah, I do. I am not against Michigan. I don't care. Woo, go blue. Yeah, that's right. Bring it on. I don't care. Here's the thing. When you are a raving fan of something, it's attractive. People are like, man, they are so into that. They're so like behind that. I just can't stand like the people are just like, whoa, Michigan. Dude, just go cheer for your team. Be quiet. Shut up. Okay? Right? Be for something. Now just let me just, I am actually, here's the part, just kind of, let's take it to the next level for a quick second. I'm not against people who live their life against stuff at all. I love you anyway. You irritate me. I think you need to rethink what you're spending your time and energy on. But my whole disposition in life is even if you live your whole life against something, I'm still for you. It doesn't matter. Okay, here's the question. What are we known for? What are Christians known for? Wouldn't it be spectacular if Christians were known for the right things instead of being against certain things? How would that look? Like, what if the church was really known for grace, for really loving people when they don't deserve it? Because we understand we don't deserve it. So we go, no matter what people are, no matter what they do, we love them where they are. What if the church was known for that? What if people were like, you know, I don't necessarily agree with the Jesus piece, but the way that those people live and love everyone, man, that is interesting to me. That has something to it. There's something there. They are for love. Yesterday, I'm driving around, and we'll just end right here. Driving around, we're cleaning up this wonderful area of people and this place that just needs help. They just need cleaned up, right? And I'm with a guy that lives down there, and he's a part of the church that we're partners with. His name is Will. I'm driving around with Will. So I get a chance to, you know, talk to Will. Will, where are you from, man? I'm from around here. I was born in North Carolina and then 3 years there and then live in Columbus ever since. And I have brothers, sisters, and we just really got to know each other. And I said, what's this place like? He said, man, there's some really good people down here. He said, there's some people that really kind of have the wrong agenda. And he said, there's just some people that need some love. I said, these people need to know Jesus, really, don't they? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I know him. I really know him. And I was like, you do, man. When did you get to meet him? And what's that? What does that mean for you? He said, yeah, when I was young, you know, I just fell in love with Jesus. And he goes like this. This is fascinating. He goes, yeah, you know, I go to church and work hard and love my family. And he said, I have a beer every now and again. And he looked at me like this. Like, is that okay? Is it okay if I have a beer every now and again? I'm still a Christian, but I have a beer. You know why he said that? Can I just tell you? He said that because there's a lot of churches that are known for just no drinking allowed. They're known for that. A lot of Christian people are known for being against the consumption of alcohol. That's just an example. Everybody wants me to give like my spiel on alcohol. Look, just don't get drunk and do it in moderation and don't break the law. Scripture doesn't prohibit it. People prohibit it. You got to be careful with this stuff. You got to live your life loving God and loving people. And if at any time what you do gets in the way of loving people, you should be able to give it up. You know why? Because you're for loving people not being able to drink. It's not about being able to drink. It's not about not being able to drink. It's about being for people. And when you put those people in your field of view and you live for them, whatever's best for them, their problems, their background, whatever's going on with them, you're going to make the right decision. Do you see? Don't you want to be a church that is known for the right things? For loving people where they are? I believe this movie, as a cultural commentary, it brought us to a place where we had to make a decision. What are we really all about? What are we going to spend our time and energy on? What are we going to promote? What are we going to fight against? Please join me in the fight of being for what God wants us to be for. Grace, love, truth. It doesn't mean you don't teach stuff. It just means that you care about the people. You teach them. You tell them the right way at the right time. Because it's people. We're not going to shirk away from realities. We're going to jump into the greatest reality, which is love people. Be known for what you're for, not for what you're against. Live for something, not against something. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being for us. You had every reason to just turn your back on us and go, nope, 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 they didn't get this right. No, 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 they didn't do this. No, 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 they didn't do this. But you didn't. You said, I'm for them, even though it's broken, even though it's not perfect. You said, I am going to have this totally different perspective. I'm going to take off being the image and person of God. And I'm going to come down to this planet, and I'm going to be God with them. And I'm not going to even consider being God a thing to be grasped. I'm going to put that away, and I'm just going to be with them right where they are because I'm for them. God, help us to have that attitude. Help us to be for something, not against something. Help us to be careful. Help us to love people the way that you loved us. We thank you so much. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.